strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks so much for being here. Yesterday, big news in sports. It was a big news day in the sports world, especially here in Arizona. The biggest news story, of course, was that Chris Paul has contracted COVID-19, but a big story for anybody that is a fan of ASU sports, and there are a lot of people in town here that are big ASU fans. ASU is being investigated, their football program, for recruiting violations. Now, myself being a Miami Hurricane, I know what this is like. It's decimated our program a long time ago, but I started asking around of people of how serious they thought this was, and a lot of people in the building that know a lot more about what's happening at ASU than I do say it's a big deal. So joining me right now from the Doug and Wolf Show once again is Doug Franz. This year, like a co-host now.
Well, I'll check in with HR and see if I can get a raise.
It hasn't been good news the last 2 days.
No.
In Arizona.
So I know that when there's good news, you ask for Wolf, and when there's bad news, you ask for me. It's all right.
How? What do you? Well, that's not true because that's not true. But you know, to come to think of it, yeah, that's what we do. How serious is this accusation against ASU? Because there seems to be more than just accusations. There seems to be a lot of evidence.
It's funny. I can't answer that question because it's something where there's absolutely no precedent. This has never happened in the NCAA where you're violating COVID protocols. So when you violate COVID protocols, how does the NCAA look at this? I don't know. Just like you mentioned with the Hurricanes, I spent 5 years of my career in the SEC. So I know a lot about NCAA investigations. And when I look at this situation, a lot of people don't understand. There is a rule in the NCAA. You can argue whether you like the rule, but it is a rule that the head coach of any program is ultimately responsible for everything that happens in that program. And there's two magic phrases of any investigation that you don't want to hear. Lack of institutional control is the big one, and the secondary one is failure to monitor. Well, when I look through these allegations, either Herm Edwards had no idea this was wrong, and that means you're that out of touch that you have a failure to monitor, or he knew exactly what was going on. That's a lack of institutional control. Either way, the old NCAA drops a hammer on this. And the reason why I say the old NCAA, you're going to laugh who I'm comparing it to, but U of A. U of A and Kansas, amongst a bunch of other college basketball programs, were part of a huge federal investigation. And in the old days, you would fire everybody, beg to the NCAA for mercy, and hope, because you are now being righteous, that they won't hit you that hard. Those days are gone. Now NCAA schools fight like crazy, lawyer up like crazy, and go after the NCAA to block the NCAA from then being judge, jury, and executioner. If ASU follows that same path, I can't answer what's going to happen.
The accusations are that they had recruits on campus, and they're talking about 30 recruits, not just a couple of people, 30 recruits on campus during the COVID blackout of not allowing to have recruits on campus. So that seems to me to be as much of a recruiting violation as anything else. But like you said, it's COVID, so how much of a violation, where are they going to gauge this?
I'll turn it into something that I have seen that I've never seen in the history of any NCAA allegation. Ask what ASU, on the record, thinks of the U of A allegations. They're not going to say anything.
Right.
There's a Yahoo article in which David Shaw, the coach of Stanford, is quoted as saying how disrespectful and unprofessional this is. In that same Yahoo article, Jack Swarbrick, who is the athletic director of Notre Dame, said this is the exact time where we needed to come together. If there was ever a time to follow rules, loose quote, this was the time to do it. When you actually have schools going on the record to talk about the allegations against another school, that tells me there are schools in the NCAA that want the NCAA to hammer ASU. And guess who is the NCAA? It's a collection of school presidents. So if those schools are that brazen to go on the record when they never go on the record, it tends me to believe that there's a lot of people that want the hammer dropped.
When you say hammer dropped, do you believe that Herm Edwards' job is in danger?
From an ASU point of view, no. because they are going to, I think they're going to fight this like crazy. That's speculation on my part, not reporting.
Because we have to admit that, at least from the fan point of view, Herm Edwards has been a breath of fresh air in this mm-hmm. program and has actually given this program hope of growing into a threat right. In the Pac-12 South.
I'm going to look at it as very similar to Sean Miller in the fact that look how long it took U of A to finally get their head out of their butt and fire Sean Miller. So I'm looking at it in that same way. When you ask me, do I think Herm Edwards is going to lose his job, I'm looking at it and saying, what's my time frame? I think ASU is going to fight it, and the answer is no. But as this thing carries on and if it continues to drag out, I can't tell you whether we're looking at 3 years of investigations and what the NCAA calls jury and going into their protocols, or whether or not this is something that'll go away very quickly.
So let's go back to another Pac-12 program that got hammered, which was the USC program years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That decimated that program for a long time because you don't have bowl appearances. What ended up happening was the head coach, Pete Carroll, went on to the NFL mm-hmm. to a huge career, but it left the program holding the bag. You had all these players that were kind of stuck in the program. Do you believe it could be as severe as something like that if it gets to that point with the NCAA? Is it this big of a deal?
I can't answer it. I'm going to lean towards no, because USC was blatantly involved in the paying of Reggie Bush and then paying Reggie Bush's family and setting him up in different groups to be able to provide benefits. This was different. This was not providing benefits, and it's not academic fraud, which are the two magic areas where programs really get hammered, but it's just so over the top brazen. When everybody says we're not going to bring in recruits, and not only that, but your ASU, who had one of the biggest COVID outbreaks of any football team, and your coach had it, and you're still bringing in recruits, and there's proof that you did it. I don't know how the NCAA feels about having their rules openly mocked. And if, it's always an if it's true that ASU did it, that's exactly what happened. Their rules were openly mocked.
And the evidence that was out there, and if you can kind of, I should have done this at the beginning. The backstory of this is there was a mysterious envelope dropped off with all this evidence, but it was emails and pictures, I think. So there seems to be more than just accusations here, right?
Oh, there's very, very strong evidence. I hate to say they're guilty because ASU has said nothing about it. So I don't know their side, their point of view as of yet. But if you're just going on evidence, you would say the ASU is up, is ready for the fight of their life.
So Herm Edwards has been so well received in college football. I was one of the people that thought ASU was kind of out of their minds for hiring a guy in that position, and I did my mea culpa because he's done such a great job. What does this do to the reputation of the coach over the next few years and future recruiting? Are parents going to say, we don't want you going to a program that cheats?
Unfortunately, there are very few parents that ever act like that. Parents care about one thing. Can you get my kid to the NFL? And players care about one thing or two things. Do you have cool jerseys? And can you get me to the NFL? That's where we are in high school football going into college football. With Herm Edwards, I think his reputation as this upstanding person has got to take a hit. But keep in mind, Yahoo has about a 9-page article on the situation. ESPN, his former employer, has about a 6-paragraph article on the situation. And so you can kind of see where loyalties lie. I don't want to disparage Herm Edwards, who has a history and a career as a very good man, but like I said before, either he didn't know this was going on, and you have to stare at him and say, how out of touch are you? Didn't I hire you to run the program? Or he was heavily involved in it, and if he's heavily involved in it, then he deserves any negative comment that people want to make about it.
Yeah, tough situation, because ASU football seemed to be turning around in the minds of a lot of people in the Pac-12, and this, again, is a big step backwards. Either way, whether they're guilty or not, this right now is a big step backwards for them.
It looks terrible. Looks terrible.
Well, as always, we love the doom and gloom, Doug. We appreciate what you bring us, so I appreciate you coming on
here.
No
worries.
All right, that's Doug Frantz from the Doug and Wolf Show over on Arizona Sports. Coming up in just a moment, we're going to talk about the Arizona fires and the devastation there and how difficult and why it's difficult to fight those fires.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks so much for being here. The Arizona lawmakers have advanced a $100 million investment in wildlife prevention. This is from KTAR.com if you want to go check the story out. The legislature advanced bills Wednesday creating this fund. This is great. It's a bipartisan effort. The votes were nearly unanimous, and it is going to hear natural resources bills in the House and Senate committees, with only one Democrat opposing the appropriation because it didn't do anything to address climate change. Now, we are dealing in Arizona with very serious issues when it comes to fires. And with all apologies to the people that don't have a long history in Arizona, it's something you'll learn very quickly. It isn't like a normal fire that you see in other places. Look what happened in California. We are suffering in a time of serious drought. And there is the lake at San Carlos Lake. I want you to hear just a little bit of this. Normally what they do, because these forest fires are in such remote, hard to get to areas, they fight them a lot overhead with a fire retardant and with water from above with helicopters and airplanes. And so they will take a lot of times it's the National Guard from out at Papago. They will fly in the helicopters. They will use these big scoops to scoop water out, and then they will dump water over parts of the fire or try to create fire breaks by doing that. And so they do this as a means of fighting the fire from above. Well, right now the water is so low in San Carlos, in the lake at San Carlos. Listen to the report.
John Truitt is a state fire management officer and spoke at the state capitol Wednesday, telling officials the San Carlos Lake is so low they can't even scoop water out of it for airdrops, or they'd leave the lake completely dry.
So they don't want the lake to completely dry out. That's where we are in this drought. So at the front side of this, for the people that are new to Arizona, I know it sounds obvious, but people don't realize the danger, so they are cautious, but we need people to be overly cautious. And here's what I mean by that. Even a spark from a dragging chain behind a trailer behind a car or a truck, that spark on the freeway is enough when it hits the side of the road to start a brush fire. There have been a lot of brush fires. Now, it goes without saying, don't throw cigarettes out the window and things of that nature. But even that little spark, people using equipment, whether it's welding equipment or otherwise, they've started fires accidentally. Fires when you're camping. But parking your vehicle on top of dry grass, because the heat created from your catalytic converter or other things underneath your car, that can cause these fires to happen. That actually happened to me once in kind of a wet area out in the Everglades. I didn't realize that it was a thing either. And I had been out in the Everglades where I grew up, and we were out in the Everglades shooting, and I turned around. We literally turned around, and my car and everything around it was on fire. Now, in that case, the fire department was probably 15 or 20 minutes away because they were seeing it from fire towers, because we were literally in the middle of the Everglades. And so it took a while for the fire service to get there, and it burned probably an acre or two around us. Had that happened in Arizona, that would have been 100 acres in 15 minutes. It is, and I may be exaggerating a little bit, but it would have grown so quickly that I would not have been able to do anything to put it out, nor would anybody else right away. They would have had to call in massive fire crews to get it under control. The point is, we all have an obligation to do what we can to reduce the fire risk, because the danger is real. So everything we can do to prevent this from happening, all of us can pitch in and do. This $100 million is going to go to help fight fires that are going to happen, but it's also going to help in preventative measures with clearing brush and clearing the fuel for these fires around homes and other places, but also for the damage that happens after. They call it moonscaping. And if you go and look at the pictures of these fires that are burning now and the aftermath of what they've left behind, it's one thing to see the flames, and to see the flames at night is an amazing, awesome sight. Not a good sight, but it is amazing to see these fires at night. To see the damage they leave behind, what looks like a moonscape, also becomes a very serious flash flood hazard. And that really is what's difficult, is then if and when we start getting the monsoon rains, flash floods will happen. So they got to prevent those from happening as well. So that's where this money is going to go to, and it's about time to see. It's good to see our state legislature on certain things can still work in a way where they work together. Almost unanimous support. Once it gets out and gets to the governor's desk, this $100 million can go a long way in preventative measures and helping with the fire damage that's been done, relief for families that have been affected and lost structures and things of that nature. So that's where we're at. Coming up in just a moment, we're going to talk about the vaccines. Where are we in Maricopa County? And is it something we should still be arguing about? We'll talk about that coming up in just a moment.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks again for being here. Appreciate it. It's the Mike Broomhead Show. We're here until noon. You can take your shot at preventing the spread of COVID-19 and register for the free Walgreens COVID-19 vaccine mobile clinic, ensuring that all individuals disproportionately impacted by the COVID-19 virus get prioritized access to the vaccine. Head to the events page at ktar.com for complete details, and you can register there as well. One of the programs, we're talking about this here every day, but one of the programs that's trying to get more and more people vaccinated here in Maricopa County, we are seeing a slowdown. We have seen a slowdown in people getting the vaccination. And I am a proponent in this aspect. I got the vaccine because I look at the numbers, I look at the statistics, and I know what I see. It always feels like I have my feet in two different boats. And I'll explain. I have a lot of people. I try to be as flexible as I can. I don't know of many people that are more opinionated than I am. I have very strong opinions, which I'm happy to discuss at any time. But I try to leave room for other people that disagree with me. And I want to be as respectful of your opinion as I expect you to be of mine. Disagree with me all you want. As a matter of fact, it's fun to have a debate with someone that disagrees. I really enjoy that kind of a conversation and a debate. I genuinely do. What gets to me is when it gets vitriolic or you come at a conversation believing that the reason why I believe what I believe is because I'm uneducated or I don't know or I haven't done my homework. Call me wrong. Don't call me stupid or don't call me uninformed. And when it comes to the vaccines, it was a decision that didn't come to me lightly. I got vaccinated for a number of what I think are very, very good reasons. I worked for a company that worked very hard. They have worked very hard at protocols that would be put in place to make this work environment a good work environment. But also, they've worked very hard to make it a place that was safe for anybody who had great concerns. We've had people around here that have been very concerned for personal medical reasons and family issues about contracting COVID-19. So I wanted to be a part of that as a team player, that I wanted them to know that I was taking things as seriously as they were, number one. But number two, I love to be in public. What I do for a living is inside a soundproof room with headphones on, and it's like singing to yourself in the car and getting caught at many times. I would rather be with groups of people and speaking with people in a group. I am a social person. So although I'm not worried about much, I don't want other people to worry either. I want groups of people feeling comfortable about inviting me to places knowing that I've been vaccinated. And what happened to Chris Paul, they say, is very, very rare, which I believe is true. But I also want – imagine that scenario. Imagine the scenario of Chris Paul – getting COVID-19, having not been vaccinated at this point in his career and in the season for the Phoenix Suns. Imagine the second guessing and doubt he might be feeling. And this is not everybody, but if you're in an environment where you are an integral part of something like a team that could be going to the NBA Finals and you get COVID-19 right now, imagine having not done everything possible to not get it and then getting it. This is a guy that is the consummate team player. It's one of the things that people are saying is going to make him the greatest point guard ever, is that he is such a team player. He makes everybody around him better. He is always looking to make sure that the people around him are playing to the best of their ability. And he's not somebody that's selfish with the basketball. All of those things are about what we hear about Chris Paul. Imagine if he hadn't been vaccinated and got COVID-19, how he would feel, that he might may have felt that he left it, let his team down, let the city down. You can't account for everything, but you can do your best. So that's the decision for me. That's why I got vaccinated. that it's not a 100% guarantee, but it does dramatically reduce the chances, and it certainly 100% reduces the severity. If he is going to make a very quick comeback from this, it's going to be because he got vaccinated. That's my opinion. That being said, there are many people out there that I consider to be probably as or more intelligent than I am that do their homework on the other side of this and say there's no way I'm getting a vaccine, especially not this one. And I respect it. You know, I respect their decision. But how do we or what do we do with the people that are on the fence? And I think that what the state of Arizona is doing now is I think they did a fantastic job and they actually led the nation on mass vaccinations, that when the majority of our citizens wanted the vaccine, they made it available in the best way possible with the state and the county run sites. They did a fantastic job. Phase two of this right now is how do we get the vaccine to the people that, A, don't have the time. That's that 20 to 44 year old age group. I live by myself. I've said this so many times. I live alone. So for me to get up at 2 or 3 in the morning and go get a vaccine was inconvenient, but not impossible. There are for many people with kids or with families or whatever else is going on in their life, it's impossible for them to do that. So what are we doing? How do we make it convenient? How do we make it accessible? I think that's a very important part of this. And then for those people that are on the fence, weeding through, I am a big believer in doing your own homework. You don't take my word for it. I appreciate that you listen to me. If you value my opinion, that's a big compliment. But you should do your own homework. Go and do your own study. Talk to people that are detractors and figure out what's best for you. But how do you get the people that are on the fence with this vaccine to say, yes, it's something that I think that the benefit far outweighs the risk, and we get them to do that? And with the numbers here in Maricopa County, 51% of the residents 10 and older have been vaccinated. That's a good number, but we are still far from the 70% that we wanted by the 4th of July. Now, overnight, there were over 18,000 vaccinations that were recorded yesterday. So over 18,000 people got vaccinated. But that's a huge number drop off from the 60,000 we were seeing at the beginning. How do we get those numbers to either maintain at that rate or go up so that we can get a bigger part of our population vaccinated? And, you know, again, taking into account that if 30% of the people in the state don't want to be vaccinated, that would be a huge number. But that we got to take into account that there will be people that aren't. One of the stories, I think it's in this pile. Is it? Yes, this is my favorite. Steve, this is the one, the color-coded bracelets.
This is a great story.
Wisconsin grocery store giving customers the option to choose color-coded bracelets to signal others how comfortable they are with spontaneous interactions.
I'm not, ever.
Right. That's
what
I'm saying.
Is there an option for that?
Can we do that in this building?
Come on.
I'm serious. Could we do this in this building where they say, here's the color coding. Red means stay away from me.
I'll take it.
I'm not comfortable. Yellow means elbow bump is fine. Green means you can hug or high five me.
Okay. Honestly, have you ever gone to a grocery store and thought, okay, it'd be fine if somebody random came up and hugged me?
Depends on the person. I have seen some people in the grocery store I'd like a hug from.
But at the same time, like, I've run into people
Remember,
that I
alone.
Know.
I live alone. True, I'll take that kind of contact wherever I can get it.
I've run into people that I know or work with at the grocery store, and I've never once high-fived or hugged them.
See, I know as much as I have this attitude about me, I am a very physical person, so I'm a hugger anyway. So I don't mind that kind of contact with people I know, but it would be great if we had that. Just forget COVID. Just in general. Just in general, I don't want interaction with you.
Yeah, the next time I see you at the grocery store, I'm like, hey, you buy groceries too?
High five. Yeah, high five.
Cool. Or, it's weird that we both do that.
Or wearing a red bracelet to tell everybody, listen, I don't want to know you. Get away from me.
I'll take the red bracelet. Or better yet, I'll just ignore everyone.
Right.
Because I already do that, and right. It works out pretty well for
so
me.
So it's a grocery store trying their, that's their COVID plan. Wow, that is something else. In a moment, Joe Biden said that he talked to Putin about cyber attacks yesterday. We played a little bit of this. What he said has people furious. You're going to hear it next.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks again for being here. The big summit between our President Joe Biden and Vladimir Putin of Russia ended, and then there were press conferences by both people. There were a number of things that were said in this that I thought were very surprising. One of them was when he talked about rights, when President Biden talked about rights, that we don't get rights from the government, that we have rights because we're born, which I thought that is incredible. I mean, what a great statement that is. But then he went on to say, actually, he ended that by saying, we have these rights because we're born, period, which had he ended with period would have been terrific. But he went on to say, we yield our rights to the government, which I thought was hysterically funny and a little bit scary. But when talking about cyber attacks, we have a lot of catching up to do. I have a friend who is a professor up at Embry-Riddle. His name is Steve Hooper, and they have a school up there of international security and intelligence, or I should say security and intelligence. And they are training the next generation of people that are chasing down. And part of what they do is chasing down hackers, blocking hackers. And it is an amazing school. And it's like the only 4-year degree in this that you can get in this particular specialty. But when you go there, and I've toured the campus, looking at the cyber attacks that are going on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, is scary. And we do know that we can trace a lot of what's happening to Russian entities. So Joe Biden, in talking to the American people and the world, actually, once this was over, we believe that the pipeline of fuel pipeline on the East Coast that dried up gas stations for days was done by Russian hackers. The belief also is that other hacks that have happened, the meatpacking plant, which is the biggest meat provider in the world, that they were hacked by Russian hackers. So Joe Biden, strong words. Here's what he said.
I talked about the proposition that certain critical infrastructure should be off limits to attack, period, by cyber or any other means. I gave them a list, if I'm not mistaken, I don't have it in front of me, 16 specific entities. 16 defined as critical infrastructure under U.S. policy, from the energy sector to our water systems.
Did he just give permission to cyber attack everything else but those 16 things? I mean, doesn't that, I know that I'm critical of this administration, but doesn't that sound like what he said?
Hey, Russia, we'd really appreciate it if you would just lay off a couple of things.
Right. Don't attack. We understand that you're going to attack us. Just don't attack the food growers and the fuel industry. There's a few places we'd really like it if you didn't attack us.
Yeah, the water.
Yeah.
Leave the water. We need the water, let's be honest. Leave that alone. The food.
What if you're number 17 on the infrastructure list?
Yeah, I wonder what that is.
What would that be like?
Like, there was a cutoff point, right?
Right.
While they were discussing this.
Yeah, we have a list of 1 through 20 of what we consider to be critical infrastructure. We don't want you to mess with 16 of these. 17 through 20, better step up their game.
Highways and bridges. I'm sure that's below 16 on the list.
We are, in all seriousness, when it comes to the military, the United States is still a supreme power. China is catching up, if not surpassing us in some ways, but we still militarily have military superiority. There is a thing called mutually assured destruction when it comes to nuclear weapons. We all understand that game. But when it comes to a military conflict, we still have the upper hand against most of the world, if not all of it. Where we are on a level playing field or even behind the curve, according to many of the experts, is when it comes to cyber attacks. And all joking aside, you're sitting down with a leader that you know has it in for you. And they do. The Russian government has no love for the American government. Vladimir Putin was a part of the Soviet Union when he was with the KGB. He was with KGB when that Soviet Union crumbled. You don't think that he wants to get back to being a preeminent superpower? You don't think he would love to see the United States fail? Of course he would. And you go to a summit with him and say, hey, listen, lay off these 16 things. I mean, and one person, there was an op-ed that was written that said he just gave them permission to attack everything else. And I just think that is the wrong attitude to take. You know, we will, you know, if the police chief said, hey, listen, crime is ticking up, but there are these certain parts of town we don't want you to attack, these certain industries that we hope you won't rob. Leave the grocery stores alone. You know, the other stores are going to go, what are you talking about? Coming up just after 11 o'clock, we're going to talk about the eviction moratorium is set to end and how dangerous that could be. The numbers of families that could be evicted or foreclosed upon is a scary, scary number. So that's just after 11. And did you hear this happens at 11:20? It's where we catch you up on the biggest news stories of the day. It's all coming up in just a few moments.